We are excited to be sharing about our Makarios missions trip with you. And so Pam and I are going to start by giving an overview of our time in the Dominican. And I'm going to get my paper out here so I remember. Thanks for coming up with me. I appreciate it. We're a little tag team today. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to try to do this quickly because this is just an overview. You're going to hear more details about the trip from several team members on this service. So we left on a Saturday, and even prior to leaving, just want you to know that 3 weeks before our trip, I received a call from our travel agent basically saying, listen, your flight has been canceled from Syracuse to Newark, and you have two options. You either can cancel the entire trip, okay, or you can rent vans in Syracuse and drive them all night long to Newark to catch your flight. Okay. So we were praying about that, thinking about that, and then we were able to secure the vans because we said we didn't want to cancel the trip. So I brought the four van drivers to Syracuse to pick up the vans on Friday night so we could have them ready to drive all night long Friday night. And I dropped them off, made sure they kind of were where they were supposed to be, and I was driving back to SOTA, so I'm having a good time. And I'm hearing from different drivers, I got my van, and then I'm almost back to SOTA, and then I hear from Mike and Michelle. They're like, we got our van, and we're driving away, and we have a flat tire, and there's no spare. I'm like, okay. And so they're like, help! I didn't get your text. No. So I'm so glad that Michelle came along on purpose, intentionally, and so I'm so glad that she was there navigating this with Mike. And so he was able to get enough air in the tire to drive it all the way back to the rental place. They gave him another van. But then by the time they got back, we were supposed to leave at 10:30. They didn't get back until about 9:45 in this area, which gives them very little time to finish packing, Michelle. And for Mike to get ready to drive all night. Yeah. So for Mike to get back and get ready to drive all night long. So we were like, okay. Mike's like, should we be going? Yeah, we're going. So we made our way there. Everything else, we made our way there on Saturday. We're able to arrive on time. Thank you to our drivers. Had four guys who drove all night long. Thank you to the co-pilot people. I was one of them. I only had to tap Vince on the shoulder once. Rumble strips. He's like, I got it. I'm like, okay. All right. So there we go. That was, we got there. Pam, you're on for.
So after a very cool, refreshing night's rest in our air-conditioned accommodations, we woke Sunday and we divided into two groups, and half of us went to a very small church just a few minutes away, about 25, including the nine of us that went. The pastor of the church is actually the principal at Makarios, but he wasn't the speaker that day. There was an American speaker, obviously spoke English, and it was translated for the Dominicans. And then the rest of the team went to a much larger Pentecostal church, which had very rousing and long worship service, apparently. We heard about, and it went so long that the pastor apparently had just started preaching, and they needed to leave because they were to meet us for the rest of our activities for Sunday. So we met for lunch, and then we visited a local community called the Chichigua community. Very, very humble community. You will hear more about that from Paul, so I won't share any more of that. Then Sunday night, we went back to the Mac House, and we had a staff member come and talk to us about sponsorship, sponsoring either a student or a staff member from Makarios.
So it's not on my paper here, but even if we go long, don't leave. It was not setting a precedent for us. All right, so that's Sunday. On Monday, we were able to visit the two other Makarios communities that support the school, Pancho and Tamarindo. We were also given some really great information about Makarios ministry because it's not just the school. We learned about their intervention program where they help to deal with kids that are dealing with things both at school and at home. They wanted me to make sure I say thank you to the church because you sent a lot of supplies. Remember, we sent out that Amazon wish list. You fulfilled everything on that list. They were blown away, so they say thank you for that. We learned about their university program, which is for their older kids after they graduate from high school. Family empowerment is when they deal with and work with the families. They also offer biblical counseling. They also told us about a neat program they have where they're dealing with what they call external ministries, which means they've been doing this for a number of years, and they've learned that they've been able to kind of put it on paper doing the school and doing stuff with families. So they have partnered with some churches and schools in Uganda to do the very same thing. They're just providing the template for them to do that. So they're multiplying their ministry around the world. It's really kind of cool, and we learned about that. And then also on Monday, half of us were able to attend what's called their Creation English class, where we go in and we interact with a bunch of people that are learning English. They're not allowed to speak Spanish. Great class, by the way. And so we just would ask them questions and got to know them. That was kind of neat. So that was our Monday in 40 seconds.
Tuesday and Wednesday, the schedule was about the same. After breakfast, we would go to the work projects at Macario's from about 9 to 11:30 or 12 in the hot, hot sun. Come home, take probably a second shower. Then we would go work at VBS from 2 to 5. Also very, very hot. These were really long but really rewarding days. And it was just great to see our team interacting, even though we were all wilting. But God gave us the strength to do those very important 2 days of ministry, both at the Mac house and with the kids.
Yes, you forgot to mention that after we came back from VBS, some of you took your third shower. That's correct. Yes, hopefully they will not bill us for water. On Thursday, so that was Tuesday and Wednesday, on Thursday we had the opportunity to take a field trip with the 10th grade class from Macario's, which is the class that our church sponsors. We've been sponsoring them since they've been in 6th grade. So we were able to just really suffer for Jesus and go on a chocolate factory tour. That was great with them. And then we also went on a cable car up a mountain. That was interesting, especially when we got into the clouds. Some of the people on the car were closing their eyes and just praying fervently for that. So that was really neat that we shared that with them on Thursday. They thoroughly enjoyed that. Then we had our final afternoon of VBS on Thursday. Then the rest of our team was able to go to another Creation English class. So that was part of, again, what happened on Thursday. We had a great time. And before I turn over to Pam for Friday, and then we're kind of done, is I want to thank George in particular. He is our team photographer. So thank you, George, and videographer. And so if you want to see more pictures than you'll see today, George has approximately over 800 that you can look at. So that was Thursday.
Friday was our vacation day. So we drove, I want to say, an hour and a half probably to a monkey jungle, which you have already seen some of the pictures up there. So we were instructed, these were called spider monkeys, and they would jump from head to head or shoulder to head or whatever, but we weren't supposed to touch them. And they gave us sunflower seeds that we could put on our heads if we wanted to entice them to come even more. We were also told they liked bald men, which worked out great because we had two of them. So some of the team members would have loved to have stuck one of these monkeys in their backpacks and brought them home. Others, like me, were completely freaked out by the whole thing, but it was still fun. From there, we went to the beach, and it was kind of cool. They had 18 beach chairs lined up, so that was where we spent the day. Some obviously enjoyed the water, but the vendors would come with their wares in their suitcases and walk by us and try and sell anything they could, from jewelry to carvings to food to things we weren't even sure what they were. But they saw the rich Americans, so they came upon us. There was a restaurant there, so we were able to have like a beachfront supper, which was kind of cool, and that was the end of our day there. Then we went back for our final night at the Mac house, and then our final night on the rooftop, which you'll hear about in more detail, I'm sure.
Thank you. All right. That was the overview. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I'm just going to spend just a few moments here because I wanted to just read over our verses for our team. So if you want have a Bible, want to go to Colossians chapter 3, these are verses that the team learned together individually and then together. I did not spring them on them this morning to say, come up and save them. They may have stayed home. So Colossians chapter 3, I just want to read them. And as I'm reading them, and you're following along in your Bibles, I want you to think about how these verses would apply to a missions team. They were chosen intentionally, okay? Because there are 18 of us. That's a lot of people to take on a trip. Family or church family, okay? You know what I'm saying? So here we go. Colossians chapter 3 starts in verse 12 is where we started memorizing for our particular opportunity as a team. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Yes! Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Al, is that the same shirt you've been wearing every day? I'm sorry, Al. It's not in my notes. You just walked right into it. So, compassion, kindness, humility, and team did a great job. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There are times when you're like, okay, I was sound asleep in my room with all the other guys, and somebody came in and just turned the lights on at 12 o'clock at night because they couldn't see where they were going, Mike Barnes. Because he didn't bring a flashlight and doesn't know how to use his phone. So I'm like, hello, Mike's home. Sorry, we bear with each other. Verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The only way, seriously, the only way possible to do all these things, so compassion and kindness, humility, and bearing with each other, is through the bond of love in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing, because humanly speaking, we're like, no, not going to do it. Don't want to do it. I'm having a rough time in this trip, but the love of Christ needs to overwhelm us. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. We keyed in on the thankful part. We had to be flexible. Things didn't always go the way we wanted them to, and the air-conditioned accommodations, hopefully you picked up that with sarcasm by Pam. And so we had to learn to be thankful on the trip and all those kind of things. And then verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We exemplified that on a regular basis on this trip, because on our roof time we would gather together for worship every night as a team. It was a great time. And we taught each other that way. We also, forgot to mention that different team members were assigned different verses, and they led the devotions at the roof time based on their assignment. And then we were worshiping together. So we worked our way through this whole passage, not just memorizing it. But we taught each other things through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And those that went to the Pentecostal church, you really got songs from the Spirit, I heard. I went to the Bible church, just so you know. Just so you know. Not just saying. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Okay. I still have my Baptist card. Okay. And verse 17 was the last verse that we memorized in this section. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, chocolate factory, monkey jungle, VBS, work projects, whatever you do in word or deed, even on the beach, giving thanks, do it all to the glory and name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we had a lot of opportunities to do this. So we praise God for allowing us to not only learn these verses, but to apply them to this trip. And good news, bad news? Good news is we can still use these verses every day now. Bad news is they also apply to you guys, that we're supposed to do these things. These are not just missions trip verses. These are Christian life verses. Okay, so we're going to go right into some reports now. So George, come on up. You're the first guy here, and first person, come on up, and you share right here behind here, and
hold that mic nice and close. Ooh. Okay, the part that I'm going to share this morning is that I met a young man there. His name was Anuade, and if I got it wrong, don't worry. I say it wrong all the time. And we became close friends. We talked a lot. We shared our testimonies. And he captured me because he was such a God-loving, God-fearing person. And that's what we talked about a lot, was how much we loved God and how much we wanted to do for God. Well, come to find out, Anuade has a son. His name was Yurio. And his son had no sponsor for Makarios. So I, because of the relationship that myself and Inuide had developed, I decided to sponsor his child. It was, I think, a more glorious moment for me than it was for him. And he was just all over himself about it. He was so happy. So then I got to go on Friday night before we left on Saturday. I got to go to his home. I had met his wife the night before. Didn't talk for long, just high pleasantries. And then I got invited to their home. I went to their home. I met Diana, or I seen Diana there. We took some pictures. I got to sit with my guy for a while and talk to him, because that's what I call him. I call him my guy. And then I got to meet his grandmother, which was a very lovely and inspiring story, how he built on to the house that they had so his grandmother could come live with them. And that was about it. That meeting, Inuide, was probably one of the upper highlights of my trip to Makarios. And I can't thank the church, the pastor, the other 17 people that were with me that I developed great feelings for. I love them all. And that's about it, I think. Thank you.
All right, I guess I'm next. I'm going to stand up here because that's a little too tall for me. So I asked Pastor Jay if I could talk about the external ministries, like where Makarios has come to. But it kind of, I kind of have to start, I'm going to try and give you the synopsis. When we went to the school that day to hear about Makarios, they kind of started us at the beginning and walked us through. We were there for quite a few hours. It was kind of like progressive church. We started in one room, learned something, went to the next room, learned something, went to the next room, learned something, and it was crazy. But for me, as a teacher, as a mission, I consider myself a missionary here in Williamson, it was super inspiring to me. So I'm going to give you the quick synopsis, because the whole picture is just so beautiful what God has done. So Makario started with one person doing after-school ministries in an empty field. Okay, and we visited that field, we saw where it all started. She was just helping kids supplement what they were doing at school. She brought in food for them, she brought in groups that did medical ministry, dental ministry, and God was like, this is awesome, let's move it along, you know? They got the school, they got the Mac house. The kids that we sponsor here from Bible Baptist, right, are now in 10th grade. So they started at the very first class that Makarios had in the school. Okay, they've grown up through Makarios. They will be the first, like I said, graduating class that started and gone all the way through. But there are older students that Makarios still sponsors from the beginning, right? They go to a different Christian school, but they come to Makarios for their food, for their medical, for their encouragement, for the ministry that Makarios provides. So as that has developed, they realized there were students graduating that had no papers. Okay, so the Haitians are non-documented in the Dominican. So as they wanted to go to university or they wanted to get jobs after school, there was no way for them to do that because they weren't considered people. I mean, it's crazy when they said those words. We were like, what? So they found another nonprofit ministry to come in and help these students, people. I think even the gentleman who's now the principal at the school was sharing, it took him 4 years to get the papers he needed so he could go to university. Well, now Makarios has found another organization to come in, partner with them to help these, to help get papers. So someone shared with us that day, it only took me 1 year to get my papers where it took 4 years before. You know, so it's something that Makarios knew they weren't equipped to do, but they found someone to come in and partner with them. And now they can share that resource with other people in the community as well. Okay, so they've taken care of their students going through, But now they've realized, okay, we've got this intervention team that's helping these students that are struggling. How can we help them better? That's something we do here. You know, I feel like I do that in the high school right now. How are kids struggling? How can we help them? Makarios is doing that. And they realize, you know, we're helping them at school, but what about home? You know, really, I think anyone who works with children knows that, right? You're working with a struggling child, what you really need to do is bring those parents alongside, help them as well. So that's where this family empowerment ministry came from. God raised up people to do that, to start bringing the parents into Makarios, to having mother's events and father's events, and let's bring Christ to the parents as well, right? That's where the change is going to happen, when the family is empowered by Christ. Okay, so that's a whole new ministry that they have developed and is so successful that they're like, we need to share this ministry. We don't want to build another school. We are maxed out. They take 18 new students every year in their incoming class. They have more students, of course, than they can bring in. But they were sharing that it costs like $1 million a year to run that school. So another school is really not in the plan for Makarios. But they want to share what they're doing. So they've taken that family empowerment and they're taking it out to the other Christian schools in the area. They're like, we have developed this program, it's working, we're seeing changes in the family lives. Can we come to your school and share it with you so you can do it with the families at your school as well? So that's what Pastor Jay was saying. They've taken it to the communities in the Dominican, and they also started this year in Uganda because someone had a connection there. So they had just come back from that trip, the group that had gone to Uganda, and there's going to be two schools that are going to start the training for family empowerment there as well. So they call that their external ministries, and that's kind of the new step that God has brought them to. So exciting for me as I work in ministries here. I know I'm going to give a shameless plug for Scarlet Thread. But when I work at Scarlet Thread in Williamson, you know, there's so many ideas, and God has just started so humbly. But what he can do with it is limitless. So what I saw God do there is so inspiring to me, and I just can't wait to see what he'll do there and here as well.
So my wife was going to stand up here and help me in case I got all emotional, but oh, good. The reason I wanted to bring up a couple of pictures right away, one is at the very top. You can see my daughter holding this little girl named Carolina. So 3 years ago, in 2019, we had the privilege of going to Makarios then. And I have an identical picture, well, not quite identical. Sophie was much smaller, and Carolina was much smaller, but they latched onto each other, and Sophie effectively carried Carolina around, I think, for probably the whole 2 hours we were there. It didn't last quite as long this time because Carolina is bigger, but and the other one, too, is, oh, right down here at the bottom is a group of our guys playing soccer with a group of their people. And I got to give some kudos to the old guys because they actually scored a few times. They were looking pretty good out there on the rock field, right? But the biggest reason I want to show that is because there was a lot of joy and a lot of love in this community called Chichigua. There's really three towns that are kind of that Makarios is sort of centered around: Chichigua, Panto Macheo, and Tamarindo. And the reason that I wanted to show those first, and I'd like you to keep them top of mind, is because we had so much joy in that community, but the message for Chichigua is a really harsh one. And that's where I got to go next. Because what we do here as a church has an enormous impact there. The place I'm going to start, believe it or not, is actually not even with Makarios. It's with a statement out of Destiny Rescue. It says, this is from their website, children can be trafficked to the Dominican from its neighboring country, Haiti. Destiny's Rescue's agents played key roles in operations that rescued more than 100 women and girls in the Dominican Republic in 2020 and continue to restore lives to freedom this year too. I am not trying to imply that I know that they're in Puerto Plata or in that area. I'm not trying to imply that at all. But what I'm trying to do is really emphasize that Chichigua is dominantly a Haiti community, and the plight of the Haitians and their intermarriages with the Dominicans is enormous. To Cindy's point, they have no status. They aren't considered people. There used to be a sugarcane factory where they could all work. Sugarcane factory shuts down. Haitians try to go back in country, back to Haiti. They say, we don't want you. So they go back to the Dominican. They have no citizenship status there. So it's been a continual challenge for them. So Makarios is doing something amazing there in restoring hope by enabling them to get education, learn English, potentially work in the tourism. And in my mind, Makarios is like this centerpiece that can combat things, the need for Destiny Rescue. I love Destiny Rescue. I will support them with everything I can. But I'd rather they were out of business, right? And that's where Makarios, I think, can come in. The other things to find out about Chichigua is unemployment there can be 60 to 80%. Drugs and prostitution are very normal in that community. And even now, the government, in looking at them as though they're non-citizens, has pretty much said, yeah, we want this property you're on. We're going to move you about 20 minutes away. Take the whole community. We're going to just build a different complex and put you there. Barnes said it while we were chatting about it, as I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around this, Mike Barnes. He goes, yeah, imagine you're sitting in your house one day and you get a notification. Sorry, Shortsville doesn't exist anymore. We want that. We're going to move you 20 minutes away. Now put your name of your town in that. And all of a sudden you feel like, wait a second. I'm not even a citizen. I've got one of these little shacks for a home, but I have a community. And when you think about these kids playing soccer or Carolina or all the love that goes on there, they have to bond together to survive. And it was a really interesting conversation I had with one of the leaders of Makarios, Jackie. What is Jackie's exact role? She was our group host. And I go, Jackie, how in the world, when you've got 60, 80% unemployment, do these people even survive? And she goes, they figure out a way. And that's kind of where you can't really see it there. On the top right, and it says, let's see if I can do it in Spanish without butchering it. Sevendes tostados y jugo. And out of her home, she sells tostados and juice. There's also a number of shops, they call them calamados. And effectively what it is they create a grocery store. And well, I can't say create a grocery store, that's a little exaggeration. It's more like they cut a hole in the house and you can go up to the hole in the house with a little shelf and you look in behind you and you can pick things out. And one of the things that Jackie said was people there survive by, if they have the money, we would go buy a dozen eggs, they might go buy one. They buy what they need for the day because that's what they can do. So Chichigua is a very hard message, but the sense of community and love there is really huge. And whenever I think of anything, I think, well, what's my ask of me? And I'm going to kind of give you guys the same ask. On Makarios' website, they have pictures of every child that goes to that school, every teacher. And I'm going to ask you, because the most important thing I think any of us can do is pray. Now, it's easy for those of us that were there, because I think every one of us has faces in our mind that we want to pray, that we could pray for. But that would be my ask of you. You may not know that person, but go pick out a picture. Find somebody to pray for, and then you can, you don't, may not know them, but God does. And so anyway, then maybe the Lord will also inspire you to sponsorship, where I'm going to hand it off to my daughter, where she talks about who we sponsor. Do you want me to stay here?
No. Okay, so like my dad said, I met Carolina the first time we went, and we were going to sponsor her because I had made a personal connection with her already. But she was fully sponsored, and so I did want to sponsor someone, so I wanted to look for someone at VBS. And I made a connection with Scarlett, which is the first picture. And we were going to sponsor her because, again, I had a personal connection. She was, again, fully sponsored. but her younger sister, Sister Stacy, is the one in the middle. She was not sponsored, so we decided to sponsor her so we could still have a connection with their family. And I was able to, I had met all of their family before, but I was able to go to their home, and similar to what George had, I was able to have a more personal connection with the mother and the older sister and the younger brother. And I felt that it made, like, it made it more personal to sponsor them, whereas I wasn't just writing letters or giving money to someone who needed it. I was actually had a personal friendship with someone. And the older sister is 17, Scarlett is my age, and Stacy is 2 years younger than me. And their younger brother is 8 or 7. And it was just really amazing to see how joyful they were and how welcoming they were to me, even though I hadn't written as many letters as I should, or maybe not as been as personal with them as I could have been, but they were just still so welcoming and loving to me. And I thought that was really amazing and something that was just there all the time, even if it wasn't, even if the kids didn't know you, they would just come and hug you, and they would memorize everyone's names, and they would dance with you, even though they had no idea who you were, and they'd only known us for a day or two. And I thought that was really amazing and a really personal connection I could have there.
Stay. All right, team, come on up. All right, we're gonna break this up a little bit here for a few moments for if you have some more reports. I'm going to have a couple guys take this table back, if you would, just straight back. So we learned a song in Spanish to teach them, and they were amazed at our just pristine Spanish. So we're going to do that song for you because we thought you might enjoy it. All right. Okay. All right, go ahead. All right, we also were taught a number of songs by them, or at least they taught the kids, and we tried to learn these songs and the motions. Here's about 40 seconds of what that looked like for some of us. Yes, here we go. I see you. We won't be doing that song next week, but yeah. All right, come on up, Nan.
Hi, everybody. One of the highlights of my trip, there were many, was our Thursday night English class. Honestly, I didn't want to go. I was tired. We had had a full day of going to the chocolate factory, the cable ride, and then we had VBS in the afternoon. So I was ready to relax. But it was my turn, our group's turn, to go with the group that night that went to the center of the town. I can't remember the name of the town. To the school where we were going to the English class. Harrison, these kids were working on their English certificates in order to help them get better jobs. So we were given pre-printed laminated sheets of paper that had questions for us to ask each other. We were split up into groups of three, and the questions were about our culture, what the weather was. Finally, I thought the most important question I could ask these kids was about Jesus. So I went off script, and I also asked about the families of both of the boys that were with me. And interestingly enough, both the boys' parents were not together. Erickson lived with his grandmother, and Carlos lived with his mom. I found out that Carlos was a Christian. He went to church on Thursdays and Sundays with his mom. And then when I asked Erickson if he went to church, he said no. I asked if he had Jesus in his heart, and he said not yet. God was guiding my words. We talked about what could happen if he put this decision off and if he got hit by one of the very fast motorbikes that we saw and died. And so Carlos was kind of interpreting, and I asked Carlos if he would take him to church, and he said yes. And I asked Erickson if he would like to go to church with him, and he said he would. I prayed that God moves in Erickson's heart. When I got out to the bus, I was crying and couldn't even speak. I remember Al asking me if I was okay, and I could only say yes because I was so moved by what God had done. So.
Good morning. So before I really start talking about my subject, Jay seemed to be throwing people under the bus with some of the things earlier. So, there's the picture in the back of the program of the monkeys, or the front. What you don't see is, when we were there, as the monkeys are pouncing on our heads, I look over, and our fearless leader, Jay, had a piece of pineapple on his head. Just standing there, loud and proud, with pineapple on his head. So if you need to see that picture, see George, because he does have a lot of pictures. The other thing before I start real quick is, this is my third mission trip that I've gone on, and every mission trip has something to offer. It's, you know, you go on a mission trip and you think, I'm going to go because I'm going to bless the people that I'm working with. And after the first, maybe the second, you realize those people you're working with are going to bless you so much. So what I would say is, next time the church offers a mission trip, don't close it out. Have an open heart, have an open mind. Go to the meetings and find out more about it, because it's incredible what these mission trips do. They change you for a lifetime. So I wanted to promote that. And I'm an emotional guy, so when I stand up here on mission trips, I struggle a little bit. And I didn't think I was going to today, because this one was a little bit different, but I'm going to. I can tell already. I'm talking about the VBS that we did, in the game time specifically. So there's a slide up here right now. You can see the team members that we had working with us, some of them. Anthony and Kenny were from the Dominican. Kenny was considered our interpreter. He's the tall gentleman with a hat on. And then Anthony was Jackie's son, who oversaw the Macario's house. So what we had is we had what anybody needs to do a really high quality activity. We had an alleyway. And what you don't see is sometimes throughout the streets here, actually some of the sewage runs along the street and stuff. That's the way it is in the Dominican. So we had that at each end. But then you had cars that wanted to go down through the alleyway when we were doing our games. And some of them actually stopped and would beep, like we were going to move and move our tent that we had at the end. So the other thing that's key is the alleyway was probably 20 to 25 feet wide, I would say, with concrete walls and fencing. And when we had the youngest group, because we had three different groups, we had, I believe it was 4 to 6, 7, 9, 10, 13. 4 to 6-year-olds, the first day, you watch them come out of the church, and you watch them to keep coming out of the church, and they keep coming out of the church. I think we had just 60 kids, just 60. So we had 60 kids, Spanish speaking, in an alleyway. Sets itself up for a great day of activity. Wait, one other thing. Pure sun in 95 degrees. Is that it, Al? That was about it, right? It was good. But we did activities. As Kenny explained the rules and the games, because we came up with the games, we would talk to Kenny and say, here's what we need you to say and how we're going to do it. There were some times Kenny was like, okay, let's do it. There was other times Kenny's like, I don't think they're going to be able to do this. And there was one day when we were going to do duck, duck, goose. So we're going to have different circles of duck, duck, goose. And Kenny's like, I don't think it's going to work. And I said, let's give it a go, man. It'll work. Trust me, it'll work. So we did that. But the thing that was so noticeable is, again, young kids up to 13, Spanish speaking, but as soon as you got them in the alleyway, and Ricky, you can switch slides now, please. Once you got them in the alleyway, this is what you saw. They're no different than kids that are here in this church or kids that are in our own community. They all want to have fun. They absolutely love the church. They love God. You can tell by their dancing. So next Sunday during worship, if people could get up and dance, that would be great, okay? Because the church we went to, it was an hour long of dancing, singing, and there was chanting going on that I don't even know what they were saying, but they love God, I can tell you that. I could talk for 3 hours on that. So with the VBS, though, it was such a blessing to be able to just provide activity for these kids. And there again, they don't have the means that we have, so you can't see it here, but we had a lot of kids that had no shoes on, running down an alleyway with stones, pebbles, glass. The third day, I think there was a bunch of sheetrock that somebody had thrown along the edge. That helped us out a great deal. But it was just such a blessing to be able to participate with these kids. And the team members that worked on the games, I mean, it was hot out there. But you never heard anybody complain. It's the other thing with mission trips is you're not there for you. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for God and what you can do for the people that you're serving. And that's what makes it so awesome. I guess that's good for me. Thanks.
Hello. I don't know which. Okay. Was not sure which thing we were going to talk about first. So one of the projects that we did when we were at the Macario School doing our different work days is there was a group of us who were assigned to do a mural on the wall. They have this whole outdoor area with a wall around, and so their other teams that had been there before us had created different things. So we kind of thought that we were going to be given sort of a template of something to do, but when we got there, we were like, oh, we're supposed to come up with the idea and create it. So we're like, so it took a little bit for us to come up with an idea. And so this was what we finally, our finished product there. So we're gonna try to do the whole John 3:16 verse, but we kind of, for time purposes, didn't have time to do that entire thing. So that is in Spanish, for God so loved the world. And so that's what our finished product looked like, and that was the group of people who worked on that mural. So that was the challenges that we had with that was when we saw the paint, that the sort of the lack of paint colors, I guess, was the challenge, because we were trying to come up with an idea that was using the colors that they had of leftover paint, and blue was not even one of the options, so it was a little challenging with that. So fortunately, Jackie went and got blue paint for us for the second day so that we could make something, have a little more options for mixing colors. And then Nan did such a great job of mixing paint to make all of the different skin tones of the children around the world there. So that was great. So I think that the Macario School was pleased with the end product. I think that the principal was thinking that we were very ambitious with our idea, and he didn't think that we'd have time to finish it, but we did. So anyway, so that was the mural, the project there. And if we move to the next slide. So I was also part of the craft thing for VBS. And so there was a group of us. We planned out some craft activities to do for the 3 days, you know, prior to going. So we had all the supplies that we were going to need for our different projects. So as Mike said, you know, all those kids that kept coming out of the church and kept coming and kept coming, well, they were coming from crafts. And so we had them all in a very, like, I can't even describe how tiny the room was that we were doing the crafts in. I think probably not that much bigger than the stage. I don't know. But the first day was a little crazy because it was the youngest group of kids, so the 4 to 6. There were at least 50-something of these little kids, and they didn't have chairs in the craft room, so they were bringing the chairs from the sanctuary in, and they kept doing that, and there was not enough places for kids to sit, so there were two in a chair. It was chaotic, to say the least. And we also had mentioned before that there was not air conditioning, so there's a fan, and fans were usually our friend. You know, that was great, except for when you're trying to do little tiny pieces of paper and glitter. That was not our friend. And that was our first day that we were doing a mosaic thing about love, and, you know, kids ripping little pieces of paper and gluing them. And that was fun. And the kids ended up with lots of glitter on their bodies, with the sweaty bodies and then glitter. So that was the first day. And then the second day, our craft was doing, and that's what you see up on the wall that we hung them up. It was our theme for the week was the identity in Christ. So these were like fingerprint paintings. We were talking about their individual fingerprints. So they came up with those. But the other 2 days, we said we don't want chairs because that was like there was not enough room for all the chairs. So we had kids standing around tables, which worked out much better. So that was their project. This was the kids lined up to leave to go on probably to go outside to the Mike's activities. and then the final day, we did some beading activities, and so the kids loved that. And the two older groups, we had them make bracelets, and we had beads that we had the Spanish word for loved, which was amado, chosen, escogido, and forgiven, perdonado, out of bead. And they made bracelets, and we had to cut them off because they kept wanting to make more and more, and we're like, we need to save supplies for the next group. So then the younger kids, I think there was maybe a slide at the beginning of we made like necklaces for they did, and they just loved those too. So the kids were great. They were so appreciative and just loved it, and I think it went really well. So it was a great experience. So who's up next?
As was mentioned, our team was comprised of 18 people. Varying personalities, varying gifts, and I couldn't help but think about the 12 disciples, also a very different group of people. And yet God used them to do amazing things. And so it was with that mindset that I want to share this morning. We had some very skilled craftsmen on our team. These were not 10th grade boys in a shop class. These were men who knew how to build 8 or 9 quality bookshelves and a table, as was given the project from the school there. And they were serious. The night before, I think Al was sitting at a table drawing blueprints up for this project. I mean, it was amazing, and the end result was just fabulous. And again, I'm sure far and above and beyond what they expected. But sadly, the morning they were going to start the project, Jay and I were sitting across from Al and Cindy at breakfast, and Al let Jay know that Jay had not been chosen to be a part of the construction staff. But that was okay, because Jay excels in many other areas. I mean, just in leading a trip of this nature, you don't realize how many months and months and months it takes to put this together. The interaction with not only the 18 of us, but the missionary that we were going to minister to, and constant correspondence, and great organizational skills, he excels in all that. And I'm not just saying this because I want to go on vacation next week. But he also excels in leading worship, which you see here every week, but also the end of the day, he would lead worship in a place, the rooftop, which was a really cool experience. And sadly, one night I tried to assist him. I do know 3 chords on the guitar, but my gifts were not appreciated as much as Jay's. And it was a little hurtful. We had many artists, talented artists, which you saw the beautiful mural. I am capable with a paintbrush, but I am not an artist. I can paint a room. I'm not great with crafts, but just to see these ladies working together, I was working on a wall close by them so I could hear interaction, and I never heard, "I can't believe you chose that color," or, "Can you just sit down and let me do this?" I just didn't hear that, and it was just a really cool thing to see them working together with the skills that God has blessed them with. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of a body having many parts, and each part is important. The body isn't just one eye or one arm or one leg. The functions are all different and yet all necessary. We wouldn't have accomplished what we accomplished if we were all craftsmen, or if we were all painters, or if we all wanted to be the team leader. It wouldn't have worked. Paul goes on to say that God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he saw fit. And it was just a great experience to see us working together, working in unity for the cause of Christ, much like the 12 disciples.
All right, we just have a couple more things we're going to, as we wrap up here. Thank you for bearing with that. It's been great. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. So if you're involved in the skit, you can come over to the side here. We did something because we were not all well-versed in Spanish, but we wanted to have an opportunity to share the gospel during VBS. So what we did is we learned a skit that didn't require any words, and we're going to do that for you. All right. And at that point in the VBS, a Spanish speaker. Oh. You okay, George? All right. He's excited about his lead role there. After that, the Spanish speaker got up and explained kind of the gospel there. So you sure you're okay, George? All right, so we're going to end with a slideshow here. And then when that is finished, the lights will come back on and you are dismissed.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Again, on behalf of our team, thank you to our church for being so supportive of missions trips, your prayers, your financial support, and encouragement. So thank you. You are dismissed.